In order to grow your business, you must know which stage of growth your business is at now. Are you struggling, surviving, thriving, or at the top, driving your market? The Restaurant Checkup is a fast 5-minute quiz that'll tell you where your restaurant is now and what steps are needed to elevate your restaurant to the next stage. Head over to restaurantcheckup.com to take the quiz. It's the first step to getting the restaurant you desire.
Loading in 3, 2, 1. Welcome to the Restaurant Coach Podcast. It's the cure for the common restaurant. Expert interviews, tools, and tips to get you the restaurant you know it can be. Now, here is your host, Donald Burns, the Restaurant Coach.
And welcome to another episode of the Restaurant Coach Podcast. It is the cure for the common restaurant. You know, this year is already starting off with a wave of new challenges, new COVID variants, increased supply chain shortages, and the struggle, constant struggle, it seems like, to attract top talent. Now, along with challenges also comes opportunities if, and it's a big if you're bold enough to take advantage of them. On this episode, I talk with Bruce Irving from Smart Pizza Marketing, and I'm telling you, Bruce is a genius when it comes to marketing local businesses, and he especially thrives in helping pizzerias dominate their market with a solid marketing plan. In this interview today, Bruce shares his outline for starting a restaurant marketing plan from scratch. Plus, we also discuss some really, really hot topics right now, like TikTok, NFTs, and cryptocurrency. So let's jump into the conversation. I am honored to have on the show a frequent member as a guest on the Restaurant Coach Podcast, the one, the only, Bruce Irving from Smart Pizza Marketing. Bruce, hey man, how's Boston today?
It's not bad today. Winter sucks usually, but today's okay.
Yeah, it's like, you know, trying to get, so it's like, you know, a lot of times I do stuff in the summer and Bruce is like, I'm not leaving Boston this summer, man. I'm never leaving Boston this summer. It's like the only time it's nice here. I'm never leaving Boston this summer.
Yeah, if you ask me to speak at an event or go anywhere from June, July, and August, the answer is no.
Exactly.
Maybe and, for and you, I'll consider it, but most people, the answer is no.
Yeah, but you know, I live in Scottsdale now, so it's like, I'm wearing shorts, you know, it's 70 degrees in January, and you know, I'm wearing a polo shirt and shorts, so.
I hate you.
It's awesome. I love it.
But thank you for having me on the podcast. Life.
It's always good. A pleasure. Let's change this up. Let's talk about cold weather anymore. So, if nobody knows about Bruce, I'm going to tell you, there's probably, when it comes to restaurant marketing, there's five people in the world I trust to talk about restaurant marketing with, and Bruce Irving is one of them. In fact, Bruce is the guy I talk to when I need advice for my restaurant coach brand about how to help me with my marketing, how to help me with Facebook stuff, Instagram, things like that. And if you have not tuned in, I highly recommend listening to Smart Pizza Marketing Podcast. It's an amazing podcast, tons of information. In fact, I was driving this morning on the way to the gym and I was listening to one of his latest episodes on the Smart Pizza Marketing Podcast. And I was like, you know, and this is sad, I'm driving, I'm listening. Oh my God, that's a gold nugget. Oh, I gotta write that down. Then I'm driving, listening. Oh my God, I gotta write that down too. And then so I started thinking, you know, my nickname is like, you know, my tagline is the restaurant coach. I got a new nickname for Bruce. I'm gonna call Bruce from now on the marketing machine gun Irving. Bruce, the marketing machine gun Irving. That's your new tagline. That's it.
I love it. Thank you so much for that. I appreciate that.
That's
awesome. Yeah. Thank you for the kind words about the podcast as well. Yeah, I you know, I don't know a whole lot of stuff. I know a little marketing, and that's kind of what I talk about a lot because I try to stick to what I know. Mm-hmm. Like somebody asked me the other day on Instagram, I posted something in a story, and they messaged me and they said, you know, marketing is great, but how do I find, you should post more about how to train or how to find employees. Yeah. And I'm like, you know what? It's never going to happen because I don't do that. You want that information, go talk to Donald Burns. That's not what I do.
I do the hiring thing all the time. I talk about hiring.
I said, you want to learn, like build a culture in your team and learn how to hire. And that's not me. That's not what I do. Marketing, I'm your guy. Anything else, I'm not.
Yeah. When people, the same thing, when people go, hey, how do I set up a Facebook ads? How do I set up an Instagram ads? What's the best way to do advertising? Yeah. Call Bruce.
Exactly. Yeah. Like that's the one thing I always talk about too on the podcast is like, especially moving forward, mm-hmm. doing one or two maybe three things, but doing them so well, you're the best at it. Not trying to do 100 things mediocre, but do a few things really, really well.
Yeah, I say it a lot to my clients. I mention it all the time, that you can do anything, you just can't do everything.
Right. I mean, you can do everything, but you'll be really bad at a lot.
You'll be really bad at it. It's better to specialize and be like the very, very best. It's like, do you go to Chick-fil-A and get a burger?
No.
And why do you think they're like the number, you know, dominant brand in the world? You know what I mean?
Right. They have just chicken and fries, pretty much. That's maybe pretty much salads.
In-N-Out Burger. What do they do better than anybody else?
Burgers and fries.
You know what I mean? It's like, you don't go there and you get salads. You don't get chicken sandwiches. You know, no, In-N-Out Burger does what they do.
Right.
You know, be the best at what you do. And you will, number one, you'll, especially if you're really, really good at what you do, you will create a following and you will have a huge market share.
Yeah.
Yeah. So today on the podcast, it's 2022. Of course, you know, we thought we got past all the, you know, COVID stuff, and now it's back. You know, we got some Omicron, and next, I'm always wondering who comes up with the names for these things.
Well, they're Greek names. They're Greek. It goes by the Greek alphabet. Or I've just realized that the other day, because my wife's Greek, and she and my kids know all these names of these, the way they're naming COVID, because they're all from the Greek alphabet. So I think, like hurricanes, they go through the alphabet. I think they're going through the Greek alphabet with the names of the COVID.
So if you had to pick the next variant name, what are you going with?
I don't know. I can text my wife right now and say, hey, what's the next letter in the alphabet that they're going to come up with?
So they had Delta. Now, yep. Omicron. Omicron. Yep. So, I don't know.
Spartacon.
Spartacon. See, I thought they were going with like what's that? Transformers names. Like, you know, it was a Megacon, Megadeth.
What's the guy's name? Oh, yeah. Megatron. It's going to be Megatron next.
Yeah, that's going to be something. It's going to be horrible.
That's funny.
But, you know, just like anything else, markets up and down. It's, you know, things are always going to be, there's always something going on in the economy. It's always something you got to deal with. But looking at marketing, I'm going to say right now, or I'm going to ask you, if you had to start a restaurant today, what would be your three main marketing tactics that you would focus on?
Is social media considered one tactic, do you think like Instagram is one and TikTok is another?
However you want to say it.
I would, if I was to start a restaurant today, I would, obviously having a good product and having all my shit together behind the scenes is a given. I would start an Instagram account, I would start a TikTok account, and I would start an email list.
Sure.
And I would create content. Now, this is January of 2020. So if you're listening to this in, you know, June, this may change.
It will change.
As of January 2020, I would start Instagram, I would start TikTok, and I would build my email list. And I would create content for Reels and TikTok twice a day. Ooh. Because those are the only two platforms right now on social media that, if I had no budget and I had to kind of do all this organically or with as little budget as possible, those are the only two platforms, TikTok and Instagram Reels, that are giving you organic reach. So if you go to my Instagram account at Smart Pizza Marketing, you can click on the Reels button. Mm-hmm. And as of the recording of this, I have like 19,000 followers on Instagram.
Oh, wow, that's pretty cool.
Some of my Reels, if you scroll down, have reached 50, 60, 70,000 people. So that tells you that Instagram pushed my content out to way, way, way more people than were following me. Now, if I post a photo or a regular video to my feed on Instagram,
oh, don't do shit.
Yeah, you might get a couple hundred views or a couple hundred likes, but that's it. It's very much if you're lucky, right? But Reels right now on Instagram, I would do two Reels a day, and I would have a link in my bio going to offer people an incentive to either a coupon, which I know a lot of people don't like, or a free item or something off their next order if they order for me because I'm new, and try me out because I know that my product's good. If I get them in the door, I'm good. And I want to capture their information so I can follow with them later. And I would do the same thing on TikTok. Same kind of content, just organically post it to TikTok twice a day. And that would be my marketing strategy if I was starting out right now. Those are the only two things I would do.
Yeah. But you gotta get the video going.
Yeah, they have to be videos. Man. If they're not videos, I wouldn't even, if I was afraid to do video or didn't want to do video, I wouldn't do those things because it's going to take you. First of all, you can't do non-video on TikTok. You can, but it looks weird because it's not organic or natural. And like we just talked about a few seconds ago, Instagram doesn't like, the CEO of Instagram just came out a few weeks ago and said Instagram's moving away from a photo sharing app and they're transitioning more to a video community app. So if he tells you that, that should tell you to say, hey,
I gotta do video.
Maybe you should start creating video. Like, it's like if you have a restaurant, right? And it's like, and you walk in and the owner is at the door and he says, you know what? You should try burgers and I would only eat the burgers here. And then you sit down and you're like, you know what? I'm going to get a pizza. it's your friggin' fault for getting a shitty pizza if you didn't listen to the guy, what he said in the beginning, like, right?
The owner just told you what to do and you went totally against the grain. You get what you get then, right? Yeah. Same thing, man. I have to say that probably the number one kind of complaint I have about 99% of restaurant social media is they post the same boring photos all the time.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
If you're posting a photo to your, first of all, I think Instagram is the menu, it's the modern day menu of your restaurant.
It is.
That being said, it doesn't have to be, you shouldn't post photos of your burger or pizza next to a pepper and onion. A cucumber that's like placed on the side that looks like you're taking a Photoshop for your menu that you're going to send out to a mailer. It's different. You know, you got to be in the moment. You got to make it a little bit more interactive. You have to be a little bit more organic and natural, not so much placed there.
Exactly. And then TikTok. TikTok now is like, it took over like Google, didn't it?
So yeah, TikTok got more visits on videos, like more views on videos than YouTube.
Oh my God. That's crazy. Cause YouTube.
Now there's a difference though. Like I've been talking a lot about, and you hear a lot about TikTok, and I do think it's great. Like YouTube is a long-term strategy. Mm-hmm. So if you're telling me if I'm starting today, YouTube is hard to do because it takes you a year or two of being on YouTube, creating content consistently to actually get any results from it.
True.
TikTok, you can start today and go, you know, all in. That being said, if it was like a 5 or 10 year strategy for me, your audience you build on YouTube is way slower, but way more engaged and way more valuable than an audience on TikTok.
Exactly.
But you can build an audience quick on TikTok, that's for sure.
Yeah. And I know you commented recently because I finally jumped into the TikTok game.
I saw that. I like it.
Yeah. I'm going to say TikTok was a lot like I was with Twitter. So when Twitter first came out, you know, I had a Twitter account for years and I didn't really do much with it. And then finally, I think it was like a challenge. I think maybe even you put me up to challenge, like, you know, you got to dominate. You got to do something, you know, 30 days in a row, boom, 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 get out there and push past your comfort zone. Do it, do it, do it. And so I actually started really pushing heavy on Twitter. And then, you know, now I've got, you know, close to 5,000 people on Twitter.
Yeah, that's great. Me.
And then, so now it's like, you know, I decided in 2022, I know Bruce is talking about TikTok. I'm gonna do TikTok. So I started doing TikTok.
How is it going for you?
It's actually going really, really well. I get a lot of people like, you know, watching a lot of views. And I get, like you said, I get more organic views on TikTok than I ever got on like Instagram and those stuff. And then I share a lot of the stuff. And I know you got a special technique for, there's like an app you can do that takes the TikTok logo off.
Yes.
Yeah. Because I think
if you just Google it, I'm gonna put it in here right now. I'll tell you what it is. So, you know, Instagram and TikTok are kind of rivals, right?
Yeah.
They don't like each other. Well, not that TikTok doesn't like Instagram. Instagram doesn't like TikTok because Instagram
that's what it is right there. Yeah, TikTok
used to be the big boy on that.
When you do TikTok, they'll let you share to Instagram.
Right.
But Instagram will not let you share to TikTok.
Well, here's the deal. Instagram's algorithm is really smart, and it can tell that the TikTok watermark is on there. So if you download your TikTok video without removing that watermark and upload it to Instagram Reels, Instagram can see the logo, watermark logo on TikTok, and it won't share it to as many as it would. Now, it you still might get views, and if you're in a rush, it's better to do that with the logo than to not do anything. Mm-hmm. But if you have a time to download your video, upload it, get rid of the watermark, and then upload it to Reels, you're going to get a little bit more reach than you would naturally.
That's cool. That's really cool. Yeah. Yeah. No, honestly, TikTok, you don't have to be a huge video editor to have some fun with TikTok.
No, I mean, that's the thing. You can really, and the better performing videos on TikTok and Reels are actually the ones that aren't as professionally edited.
Exactly.
Like you can be a little bit more raw.
You know, I think that's the big thing. And I think people a lot of times are scared about, you know, putting out video because, you know, and I think I was the same way when I started first doing videos. You know, I had the professional cameras, I had all the lighting and all that stuff. And it had to be like, you know, just a pain in the butt. Yeah. Now, man, I do almost all my videos are on my phone.
I'm doing a nice camera here, but I have my setup here for the podcast, which is different. But, and listen, I get it. Even me, I talk about TikTok and Reels. I don't do enough of them. Sometimes I get in a funk or I'm like, you know what? Mm-hmm. Who the hell wants to hear me talk about that again? I already said that stuff on 47 podcasts about Instagram and TikTok. Like, do people really want to hear me spiel about the same thing over and over and over again? And I end up going a couple of weeks without posting anything. And I know I should do it more. But, you know, I understand sometimes you get in a funk or sometimes time goes by quick.
But I'm telling you, boy, when you're in the mood, though. So what I like to do, and this is one of my little techniques I do for when I'm doing video production, I do batch videos. I got this from Brendan Burchard. Brendan Burchard, you know, is one of those guys, you know, peak performance kind of guys. And
yeah,
one of the techniques he teaches is like Influencers Academy. Is he says do batch videos because you know when you get this, when you get everything kind of set the way you like, you got your lights, you got your microphone out. Instead of just doing one video and you're like, all right, that's done. Just record quite a few and just get it done. And I use Big View. It's an app on my phone. And it's basically Big View is a teleprompter. It's built right into my phone. And so a lot of times I'll just write scripts or I'll write like a little thing I want to say. And I just pull up Big View and I put it on my phone. And I'm just basically, you wouldn't know because I get.
Oh, I can tell. I didn't know you were reading it.
Dude, I'm reading a script.
Wow.
Yeah. But you know, and the first time you see a couple do it, it sounds like, so today I'm talking to Bruce Irving from Smart Pizza, you know, and at first you're uncomfortable, but then after you get your rhythm down and stuff, I go, hey, today I'm talking to Bruce Irving from Smart Pizza Marketing.
Right.
And you get really comfortable with it. You know, again, man, and we talked about this a lot of times. Those first videos we ever made, they were horrible, man.
Oh my God. I just went back to YouTube. I just went back on my YouTube channel and saw a video I did with like Mike Gandino, and we did it on Blab, and it was in 2016. It was terrible.
But what happens? You get better, you get more comfortable. Totally. Yeah. You get used talking to camera, you get used to talking. I'm telling you nowadays, especially with everyone on Zoom calls and the kind of like, you know, doing what we do now, you get just used to talking. It's all about just making a connection with people. But here's the thing, gotta start doing it. You gotta get your voice out there, you gotta get your message out there. Number one thing I think restaurants could really benefit from is if you start marketing your culture. What's the number one thing we all have problems with right there? Hiring.
Right.
And you know why? Because restaurants all have this stigma, this stereotype that we're a crappy place. We're going to treat you like shit. We're not going to pay you anything. If you're lucky, you can stand over a trash can and eat some leftovers out of a deli cup. All right. Right. Or you get to sit on a, you know, how many times have you seen those pictures of the, you know, the kitchen guy sitting on a milk crate in the corner of the kitchen eating out of a bowl, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Or he's ducking down behind the stove, you know,
trying
to eat something.
Trying to shovel something in quick before the next rush comes in.
But if we want to change that, man, we got to start marketing our culture that we're a different place. We care about our team. We love our team. Hey, why do you like working here? You know, and I talk about this a lot. And you and I talked about this before. It's like everyone does exit interviews. Do stay interviews. Why do you work here? What's your favorite
menu? Yeah, I like that.
You know, what's your favorite pizza? You know, what do you like to do in your spare time or stuff like that? Well, that kind of leads me also to this other question is like, and this is like a huge kind of, this is like my focus for 2022 is like, what's success? What's your definition? What is success to you?
Ooh, that's a good question. I've talked about this a lot lately because I feel like we all got wrapped up in being busy, right? Mm. And being like having the most, to me, when I was operating the pizzeria, success to us was how much business could we get?
Yeah.
Right. It was like how many pizzas could we sell? How many tickets could we get through on a Friday night? That was success. As I get older and I realize that time goes by real fast, success to me is success to me is being able to live a lifestyle that I want to live on my terms. So if you want to be, you know, if you want to have a mansion and you want to have three houses, then you're going to have to work a whole lot harder than someone who doesn't want all that thing, you know? But for me personally, it's like, I want to do what I like to do. I want to wake up and not have to feel like I go to work. I want to work on my terms, and I want to be able to support my family in the way that they're used to living. And to me, that's success. And I don't need to have the biggest podcast in the world, or have the most clients in the world, or have the busiest, most trafficked website in the world. As long as it can support my lifestyle, I'm totally okay with that. And I've been trying to relay that message to owners that says, you know what? Stop trying to go to be the busiest place. You know how many owners I know have really, really busy stores and they're fucking miserable in their life?
Miserable. Yes.
And then I know other people who just have little pizza pop-ups and they make enough money to support their life. And they're the happiest people you'll ever meet.
Oh, yeah. It's like, so, I throw this question out to owners a lot. It's like, would you rather have a $3 million restaurant doing 2% profit, or would you have a $1 million restaurant doing 15% profit?
Right. It's, you know, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah. But you'd be shocked how many people, I want the 3 million because it's an ego thing. Sales are an ego metric.
Yeah. It's like, I think that there's certain people out there who it's like you see these professional athletes or actors, right? And you see them make $20 million a movie and you're like, how much money do you need? Like to them, the money is a game. Maybe it's not necessarily the money that they want. It's like the achievement of being able to say I'm the highest paid actor. But the thing that you don't realize is they really like acting. Like to them, that's not work. Like they just go and they like doing that, or they love playing football or baseball. And the benefit of being really good at it and trying hard is that they make a lot of money. So, but it's not the money that they go after. It's because they like what they're actually doing.
Yeah. So if you're going to look into your crystal ball, Bruce's crystal ball of the future, and I know it's early in 2022, what do you think is going to be the hot trend of 2022? If you had to put your, you know, you had to make a bet.
That's a tough question because part of me is, I'm putting polls out there, is I'm interested, and I don't want to, this is not financial advice, and I am not an attorney or an accountant. And you should not, I am a moron with a microphone, so you should not listen to any financial advice.
Once, right? I did say the Holiday Inn Express one, so there you go.
Okay, yeah. I'm a moron with a microphone, I say, so don't listen to me about anything financial. But I think I've been fascinated with cryptocurrency and NFT, this whole Web3, in how we can leverage it for whether you're a podcaster or an artist or a restaurant owner or a small business owner, how you can be ahead of the curve instead of being drastically behind the curve, like a lot of businesses were in 2020 when the whole coronavirus happened. How can you learn, leverage, and invest so that way you can have a better future? I think, you know, Facebook just announced that they're changing their name to the Metaverse.
No, I know.
which is interesting. Microsoft just bought a Metaverse company for it was like $70 billion. And to put that into perspective, Microsoft bought LinkedIn for like $30 billion.
Oh, yeah.
So they just bought a Metaverse company for $79 billion, I think the total was. Mm-hmm. So these really large companies and corporations are investing a ton of money into Web3, into cryptocurrency, into the virtual reality worlds that we have coming. And I think we should be looking into that, is how can we do that ourselves for businesses? So Web3, cryptocurrency, NFTs, digital, everything is what I'm fascinated with in 2022.
And if anybody doesn't know what an NFT is, real quick, just kind of give them the Cliff Notes version. You have a whole podcast on it.
Yeah. So the Twitter, I'm going to be doing a whole podcast series on cryptocurrency and NFTs. So if you want to subscribe to that, I'll send Denil the link. You can do it. We're going to be talking all about it in 2022. An NFT is a non-fungible token. So it's it's one of a kind thing. So think of it as like the Mona Lisa painting, right? Like there's one Mona Lisa painting that's the actual painting. There's a lot of copies of it, but there's one that's certified as the one painting that you can have. So an NFT is a digital version of something like that. Mm-hmm. The cool thing about NFTs is that, and I got a lot of shit about this because I talked about it on the podcast and people are like, you're not talking about the costs that are associated with it. I know there's a lot of gas fees and costs that go along with it, but in its simplest form for me to explain to you, if you don't know what it is, it's a digital version of something that has a smart contract attached to it. Mm-hmm. So if I was a restaurant, you could create, and I've done a couple podcasts where they're creating NFTs. They're going to sell them through the blockchain and you can use cryptocurrency to purchase them. And as the benefit of being one of the owners of a NFT, you get certain benefits that are written to the smart contract that go along with the purchase of that NFT. So I'll give you an example. My friend Ethan, who has five locations in Utah, is doing an NFT where he's creating, each location is going to have 75 NFTs. NFT is going to have a different level. So he's going to have 25 silver, 25 gold, 25 platinum. You're going to be able to enter a drawing and it's going to cost $400. And you're not going to know which one you're going to get. You're going to buy one of the NFTs for $400 and you could get a silver, you could get a gold, you could get a platinum. And each one of those is going to have a character that's associated with that level. So and that character is going to be like a thirst drink. And you're going to get a lemon lime drink. If you're a silver NFT holder, for the first 6 months, every week, you're going to be able to get a free drink. As long as you're the owner of that NFT, you're going to get invited to exclusive events and you're going to get merch drops as a part owner of that. And if you're a gold member, you're going to get those same benefits, but you're going to get it for a year. And if you're a platinum member, you're going to get those same benefits, but you're going to get it for life.
Wow. So think of it like an amped up loyalty program.
Exactly. It's an amped up loyalty program. And the cool thing about the way they work now is, say somebody buys or sets up a rewards program for their restaurant, right? I have Bruce's Pizza. I'm going to set up a rewards program. You pay me $20 a month and you know, you get two free pizzas every single month. You buy that, Donald, right?
Yeah.
You live in my town. You pay me $20 a month and you get two free pizzas a month. Great. What happens if in 6 months you move away and you're not going to be in this area anymore? You just cancel your thing, right?
Cancel it.
The difference with the NFT and a rewards program through that is that NFT still has value, because if you got the platinum one, you could resell that to somebody who's moving in. Exactly. And you get your money back, right?
Mm-hmm. Now, the other thing,
you might make some money, right? If my pizzeria is really busy and really desirable, those NFTs could go up in value. The other thing is you can attach a royalty. So as the owner of that business who created the NFT, I can say, hey, every time this NFT sells in the future, I get 10% of the sales for every time it sells. So say you bought that for $400. 6 months from now, you sell it for $400. I get $40. That new owner gets an NFT. Maybe 6 months or a year from now, he sells it and the value has gone up to $800.
Holy shit.
Still get 10% of that sale. So every time that sells in the future, you're still going to get a certain percentage of that sale.
Wow. That's so cool.
So it's like you said, it's an amped up version. It's an amped up digital version of a rewards program. That's kind of how I think you can do it now.
Yeah.
There's obviously other ways that people can use them, but I think that there's still a small percentage of people who understand exactly how it works and what it is. So you're early.
Are you taking crypto yet?
Oh, yeah, I take crypto for sure.
Yeah, I take crypto. I got my first client who's paying in crypto. In Bitcoin.
Now, what kind of crypto? They would pay with Bitcoin?
Bitcoin.
Wow. I don't know if I would pay with Bitcoin. I feel like I wouldn't pay anything with crypto because I would be afraid to be that guy who in 2010 bought three pizzas with 10,000 Bitcoin. And I'm afraid to be that guy.
It's like, that's awesome. I know. He asked me, do you take Bitcoin? He's in Russia. And he asked me, you know, I have clients all over the world. He's like, do you take Bitcoin? I go, yeah, I take Bitcoin.
Of course. I would rather you pay me in cryptocurrency. I would rather everybody pay me in cryptocurrency.
I would love to be paid in crypto. Yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah. Especially right now.
But listen, I don't know if that's going to be something. I don't know if that's what you should focus on in 2022, but that's what I'm thinking about in 2022. Yeah. I think that's the future.
These are things that make me just kind of go, you know?
Yeah. I mean, social media is social media, right?
I think NFTs are really fascinating. And I think, you know, and there's so many people drawing attention, just like anything else. There's early adopters who, if you're an early adopter and you jump in the market, you can have some great opportunities with it. If you're a late adopter.
As business owners, NFTs, if you're the owner and you sell something like the Bored Apes and the Crypto Punks, like I wouldn't buy one of those because I don't know how long that's going to last and the value is going to stay up for. But to me, the value in an NFT for a restaurant owner or a customer of a restaurant is what you get with that NFT, not necessarily the NFT art itself, the value in the benefits that come along with being the owner of that.
Exactly. So another question I get a lot of, you know, is a lot of people think that they can have a huge impact with marketing on social media with just organic reach only. And I'm always saying that you gotta pay to play. It's become a market where you gotta pay to play. If you were a restaurant, what percent of your sales would you budget each month for advertising? Where I'm actually, you know, paying and not just boosting post. You know what I mean?
I think if it was me, and I don't think it would be that high a percentage, as high a percentage as you think it would be, because I would look at what these platforms want. Like,
right.
Instagram wants reels, TikTok wants videos, right? But you can't promote reels right now. And the way you could run ads on Instagram is with a regular video or a regular photo, which means you have to spend money. I think I might spend, you know, whatever my, say it's 1% or 5%, whatever that is, I would say, all right, my budget for digital advertising is, say, 2%. Let's just put it out there. 2% of my sales is going to be allocated towards digital advertising. What I would do is I would say, all right, 1% of that is going to be the actual ads. And then the other 1%, I would actually hire somebody to whose sole job it was to either create that content or help me record, create videos, create content specifically for those platforms. Because I think that would be much more better for you to allocate your dollars that way than it is to put the whole 2% on just digital ads.
And if you're looking to hire someone to do that kind of stuff, where would you even start?
I would start with my kids. I would start with coming up with, like, all right, what's my goal? What do I want to achieve? What kind of content do I want to do? And then I would start to look around. You can go on the platforms themselves. Like, who are the creators in your area? You can do that by searching hashtags and seeing who comes up on the top versus the recent. The people who come up on the top on Instagram, if you go to the search feature and you type in your town, let's say, as a hashtag, you're going to see a top and a recent tab. The top is the most popular, let's just say, posts. Who are the creators on there who are creating those top posts? They're obviously on top because people like those posts and they're engaging and they're entertaining and they have a lot of engagement. So who are those creators? Reach out to them. Maybe you can invite one of them in and you don't have to pay them. You can exchange for some food for them helping you create some content. Maybe you can just start building a relationship online with them and say, hey, you know what? You're doing a fantastic job. What would it take for you to come in and maybe do a few videos for my restaurant? Mm. It doesn't have to be somebody you hire full time. It could be someone that is creating content in your area that you think is good on that platform. And then, you know, talk to them and reach out to them that way.
And local colleges, I find, are a good one too. Anybody in kind of some kind of digital, you know, a course or any kind of digital media courses at local colleges are also a great way to reach out.
You know, the other thing that happens is, and this happens with artists or influencers and business owners, you know, you'll hire a kid in college who has a really good following on TikTok or Instagram, and you'll start a relationship and you'll say, hey, listen, create some content. And they're like, they get all excited and then they create content. And you, as the dumb business owner, says, you know what? I don't like that. I think it doesn't represent my brand good. You should change the way you're doing the content to what I want it to look like. Meanwhile, they have 100,000 followers and you have seven.
Yeah. Yeah,
and they have 100,000 for a reason, because the content that they create is engaging and entertaining, and yours is boring as shit. So let them do their thing. Don't get in their way. Obviously, you want it to be appropriate and to fit in with your brand, but let the creative person be creative and get out of the way.
Exactly. That's the truth. That is so, so true nowadays, especially, is that we always think we know best, you know, but then we struggle. And then we just, like, when someone comes in and offers, like, do it like this, do it like that. And you're like, well, I don't think that'll work in my market.
Well, yeah, you never know. Until obviously, if there's someone doing it in your market and they have a good following, it's working. It's just not working for you. Yeah. Yeah, I get that all the time. I'll get sponsors who email me and they're like, Bruce, I want to sponsor the podcast and I genuinely like the product. And I'm like, great, let's do it. And then they send me the script and I'm like, I don't fucking talk like this. I'm not saying that.
Hi, I'm Bruce.
Yeah. I use this product every day in my everyday life.
I use this product every day and I can't recommend it enough.
Right. Yeah. Like, I don't talk like that. It has to like come across like I actually talk, or it's going to look like an ad. And then what happens? No one's going to engage with it.
No one's going to engage it. All right. I'm going to give you some rapid fire stuff. I call this segment now Dead or Alive. All right.
Okay.
So I'll give you a term and then you say if it's dead or if it's alive in 2022. All right. I love it. All right. Twitter.
Alive.
Alive. Facebook Messenger.
Dead.
I knew you were going to do that. Like,
dead.
So dead.
Yeah.
All right. TikTok, of course.
Alive and well.
Alive and thriving. Yeah.
Yeah.
Snapchat.
Dead.
Snapchat.
Although, hear me out. Let me just hop in here real quick. Snapchat for content, I wouldn't spend a whole lot of time in. But like, if you ask younger people, they do still go on Snapchat. So if you have built the following on Snapchat, I wouldn't say, all right, I'm not going to do it anymore. Mm-hmm. But if I was starting today, I wouldn't go on there.
Do you see on TikTok? I mean, they're actually doing virtual resumes nowadays too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy.
It's great. It's a fantastic way to get people who are young to want to. That's where they spend all their time. If you can figure that out, you're going to be fine.
You're going to be fine. All right. Third party delivery.
Alive. That's going to be really alive. As much as I don't want to say that, I do think it's going to be part of people's
Which lives. Third-party delivery do you see pushing other ones out? Or which is your favorite third-party delivery?
I mean, I don't have a favorite because I don't use them because, you know, I would just rather go either pick up my food. I don't like delivery that much because I know I'm not getting the full experience of the food itself.
Yeah.
So I don't use them myself, but my kids use it a lot. And even though I tell them not to and order them from the restaurants direct, they just find it easy to do. And they and like DoorDash is one that they use easy.
Which one do they use?
DoorDash probably is probably the one they use the most. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't really use third party delivery, but, you know, also I have a chef background, but I do love Amazon Fresh.
Oh, yeah.
I love having groceries. You know, it's like I get like a 2 hour, I get fresh groceries dropped off at my door in 2 hours in Scottsdale. I'm like, I might never leave the house again.
Well, hold on. Is that third? Well, that's their own delivery, right? Because Amazon owns delivery. Whole Foods, right? Yeah. So, like, awesome. I don't know. Yeah. I don't consider that third party, but I do use that as well. Third party,
but that's what I use. I don't use third party. I don't use Grubhub or DoorDash to buy restaurant food. But I'll order Amazon Fresh all day long. You know.
Yeah, I do the same. I use Amazon for a lot of stuff, even though I probably should. It's just a lot easier to go get it delivered tomorrow than me to trek outside, especially when it's 0 degrees here.
Awesome. All right. User generated content.
Alive.
Very much alive.
Yeah. I think if you own a business right now, if you own a restaurant, go to Instagram, type in the name of your restaurant, and I bet you'll be shocked about how many people are creating content and tagging themselves that they've been in your business or eating your food that you don't even know about.
You are so unaware. User generated content. Here's the best thing I would describe user generated content. It's like testimonials. It's like social proof. It's not you saying you're good. Which most time in social media is you going around saying, I'm great. This is us. This is other people coming in your restaurant saying, this place is badass. These guys are awesome. I love this pizza. I love this sub. You take advantage of it. Who do you think, of all the people you've talked to, who do you think does the best job at user-generated content? Which account?
I have to think about the accounts that I follow right now. I mean, Tony Bologna's, who's a pizzeria in New Jersey, does a really, really good job of content and user generated content and using influencers and doing the whole internet thing. He does a fantastic job, especially on Instagram. And then Frank from East Village Pizza does another good job as well. I don't know, he doesn't do a lot of user generated content, but he does a lot of his own. But Tony Bologna's, I'd say, does a great job.
I mean, as far as big national brands, I think, you know, a Shake Shack does a great job user generated content. Starbucks, of course, I think is like the master of user-generated content. I don't know how many people like take selfies of their goddamn cappuccinos and lattes and post it up like, I'm having a flaming dragon latte.
You know what other account that's really big that does a really good job is Walt Disney. If you follow Walt Disney on Instagram, a lot of their photos and images are from people who have gone to the parks who take really good photos, and they just reach out and ask them to use it, and they repurpose them.
Yeah. And there's easy to use apps out there like Repost and stuff like that, that you can easily, when you get tagged and stuff like that, save the link and then you use Repost to repost it. It's most user generated content. It's one of the best ways to get your brand out there. And also it's networking almost.
Yeah.
You know, because you're giving them credit for it. Now it hits their thing. So not only do they tag you, but now you re-tag them. And it's actually expanding it's like a pay it forward kind of thing.
I think user generated content is better than word of mouth, because if I have a good experience and I tell a friend, hey, this place is great, that's great. I told one person. If my experience is so good, I'm willing to put it on my Instagram account or on my TikTok for the rest of my life, as long as I don't delete it. That's telling thousands of people potentially, or hundreds of thousands. Like, that's even better than word of mouth.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Dead or alive? Clubhouse.
Clubhouse was dead. a month after it started.
Do you think Twitter has the same thing now?
Twitter, LinkedIn's coming out with that audio rooms as well.
Oh, my God. I saw
here's the problem with Clubhouse. Clubhouse was a great app for the time it was in. It was, you know, early 2020, right? Everybody was kind of sick of being in the house.
The first 4 months of 2020 when no one could get out.
But the problem that Clubhouse had is it was noisy. There was no verifying what people, who they were or what they were saying on stage. Everybody had an amazing bio. And everybody who asked a question never came on stage and just asked a question. It would be a 14-minute long question.
Shit, I know.
Just get to the point.
Yeah. No, you and I played around with the Clubhouse when it first came out, and it would just be these like tirades. I mean, just, oh my God.
They have to get on stage. Okay, here's what I do. Here's how long I've been doing it. This is where I, no, just ask me a question.
Just ask a fucking question. Let's get on with it. Let's get on with my life. I'm like losing life as we're talking, guys. You guys are killing me.
Clubhouse is very much dead.
Very much dead. All right.
So much dead, I deleted it off my phone. I don't even have the app on my phone anymore.
That's really dead. If Bruce deletes you off his phone, you're dead. I'm just telling you right now. Totally. You're dead.
I still have Snapchat on there, even though I don't use it. Clubhouse, deleted.
Deleted. All right. How about hashtags? Dead or alive?
Alive. I think they're alive and well. I think on Instagram,
using smart, though.
Yes. Instagram, you want to use less. They said there was a, if you go to Instagram, there's an account on Instagram. It's called Creator. Okay. Mm-hmm. Search out Creator. One of the posts from a few weeks ago laid out exactly how they want you to use hashtags. And it said on every post, use 5 to 6 hashtags, and they should be a range from really large to medium to maybe even your own. And on every post you do, put between 5 and 6 hashtags, and that's how you should use it. And don't cross promote your hashtags from Instagram to Facebook. Maybe use 1 or 2 on Facebook, if any at all. But you don't need them. They don't work the same way on Facebook. Even though they work, people don't use them the same way on Facebook that they do on Instagram.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And then when we're talking about large media, there's like different categories for hashtags that hit market share, depending on what you want to do.
Right. So a lot by large, I mean, one hashtag may have 1 million followers, a medium may have 500, and a small may have 1,000 or 2,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. LinkedIn.
I don't know how I feel about LinkedIn. I think it's on life support. I like LinkedIn, but I don't love LinkedIn like I did. I think a year ago, LinkedIn was really hot. Everybody was getting a lot of organic reach. And now I go over to LinkedIn and it kind of is Facebook-ish.
It's getting there. Yes. No, it is getting Facebook-ish. I still have a lot of clients that actually, if you're going after that lunch catering, that lunch business, that catering kind of sales.
Yeah.
It's a good platform.
I guess it, here's my thing on LinkedIn. You're right. I think it would depend on what kind of business you are.
Yeah, true. Yeah. If I'm just, a general pizza place and I'm not doing a lot of lunch business caterings, then it's probably not a place for you.
I don't know if you have to create content on LinkedIn. You may just want to reach out to people or engage with people on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How about email?
Alive. I love email. Email's fantastic.
I don't know how many times I get people every week say email's dead. And then here's the thing. They'll reach out to me through an email, tell me email's dead. I'm like, do you understand the irony of what you just fucking did here, people? You sent me an email to tell me email was dead, and I had to change my marketing strategies. Do you understand how stupid this is?
I think the way people email could be dead, like HTML, a lot of photos, highly produced emails from a business is dead.
Or spamming an email every day, a couple times a day. Jesus Christ, man.
I think the platform of emailing people is alive and well.
Yeah. But like you send out an email once a week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I changed the way I do it. It's like asking me, is Instagram dead because photos aren't getting as much reach? No, but the way what you're doing on Instagram is dead. You need to adapt.
Exactly. All right. How about direct mail pieces?
If you're a local business, I don't think it's dead. I don't think it's as much. I don't think it should be 100% of your marketing like it was in like 2000 or 1999, but definitely integrated with what you do. It could really, really work, especially if you're new to a market. Mm-hmm. And bombarding people with direct mail in the beginning to get them to be aware of you is a much faster process than using social media.
Text marketing.
I don't think it's dead. I like it as long as it's used properly. As long as you text people who ask to be text, and your expectations for text are different than email. You can email somebody today and they may read that email 2 days from now or 3 days from now. But if you text somebody today with an offer, that offer is going to be good today for them in your business. And then tomorrow it's going to be gone. People are going to forget it real quick.
Geofencing.
I mean, geofencing is great. It's just expensive. So if you're a local business, I don't think you should spend time on that. Cause I don't think you're going to get, especially if you're a business who has a price point of $10 or $15 or $20, I don't think it can help you that much.
No, it's definitely for bigger brands.
Yeah. So dead as a local business.
Yeah. Dead as a local business. QR codes.
I think they're making a comeback. I know somebody gave me so much shit for this on YouTube the other day. Why are you promoting QR codes? It totally messes up the flow of a restaurant. Because you know what? I don't want to touch any menus. I think people are much more aware of how QR codes work, and your phone is much more adapted to being able to use a QR code than it was 5 years ago. Oh, yeah. So all I got to do is open my camera app and it brings me anywhere I want. So used properly and not overdone, I think QR codes can help you push people in the right direction.
Exactly.
Now, so I don't want to see 57 QR codes all over my restaurant. Don't get me wrong.
Shit. Yeah, I don't want – just make it minimalized. I mean, go very zen with the QR subtle. Codes, people. Very subtle. Be very zen with it. Very, very subtle with it. So, Bruce, how can – I know you got a couple of new things going on. I know you got – actually, we talked about Instagram a lot today. You have an actual Instagram course, right?
Yes. I do. I have an Instagram course.
If you go to Smart Pizza Marketing, right? Under products.
Yep. You go to smartpizzamarketing.com. There's a tab there. It says courses. Just go click on that. I'm going to be doing not weekly, but bi-weekly webinars, teaching something. And then you can take the Instagram course. The cool thing about the Instagram course, it's one flat fee. And I'm always updating because Instagram is always changing. So I'm always adding tutorials and new sessions behind the scenes. And once you buy it once, you get access to all those forever.
Yep. And then
if anybody's interested in crypto, just today, this morning, I'm going to add you, Donald, if you don't mind.
Oh, yeah.
I created a new Facebook group, Crypto for Business. Ooh, I'm going to be doing all kinds of information. If you're a business, like all the news and updates in a non-crypto bro kind of way.
Oh, yeah. Send me the link and I'll throw it into the show notes.
Yeah. Because if you want to hop in our Facebook group, it's free. You don't have to pay any money to join.
That's cool.
And it's just going to be free info about things I learn about crypto and NFTs and Web3 and all that stuff.
Very, very cool. Yeah, and Bruce and I are both huge believers in the power of a mastermind group. In fact, Bruce and I kind of got started years ago. We had a mastermind group that we were in together and stuff like that. And I know Bruce has his own, Smart Pizza Marketing mastermind groups. I have restaurant masterminds, my mastermind group. I'm like, if you've never been into a mastermind group, I'm telling you right now, it is a game changer. It changed my business, changed the whole trajectory of my business. I know Bruce has one, and he specializes more on the pizza side. But, it's open for anybody, actually. And and he actually, if you're in his mastermind group, you can get access to his courses and stuff like that. Just like me in my mastermind group, restaurant mastermind, you get access to all my Restaurant Coach University courses I have. And I have 14 courses available right now. So I got a lot of stuff.
Yeah. And mine's more marketing based. So if you're looking for hiring and training, don't join mine because it's not what we do in there. But that's what Donald's
marketing,
for.
If you want marketing, talk to Bruce. You want stuff on culture, creating a core values and getting your team to be able to actually do what you want them to do. I say I can't legally teach you how to brainwash people, but I'm close. I can't legally.
You can nudge them in the right direction.
And we're not using electroshock therapy either yet. We're not using electric collars or nothing like that. We're not shocking people into compliance yet.
That's awesome.
But hey, it's always a pleasure to talk to Bruce. I mean, I'm a huge, like I said, when I need advice for my restaurant, for my brand, for my marketing, I always, hey, Bruce, man, can you help me out? And he's like, yeah, sure, man, get on a call.
I appreciate that, Donald. Thank you so much for having me on the podcast. It's always great to talk to you.
That's awesome. Awesome. Hey, people want to reach you. How do they find you?
Go to smartpizzamarketing.com. That's my main website and my email if they want to reach out to me directly, bruce@smartpizzamarketing.com.
All right. Always a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to the Restaurant Coach Podcast with Donald Burns. Tune in next time as we serve up more ways to maximize your potential. Visit our website at www.therestaurantcoach.com or download episodes at iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Spotify.